jump in this morning. Just kind of a little reminder of what we've talked about, because it has been actually 6 weeks. We're in part five, and so just to kind of give a one-sentence reminder of what we've talked about so far. Part one was the Holy Spirit has been here since the beginning, and of course, that's pretty critical in creation, but not just in creation, but he began the work in you. And he started that work. He initiated that work inside of you. Part two, we talked about how the Spirit of God works on the inside of us. The Bible tells us, for it is God that works in us, right, to will and to act according to his good purpose. And part three, we focused in on the first part of Acts chapter 2. And we actually talked about some of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, how he came as fire and as wind, had a wonderful move of the Holy Spirit that day. And I was reminded, you know, as kind of part of that, and that's why I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 3. If you look in verse 11, and I believe it'll also be on the screen, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And he says, I will baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? With fire. Part four, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit and his impact on us and through us, that those rivers of living water flowing from us. And today we're going to talk about the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning and the work that you're doing and going to do inside of us. And we are grateful that you have sent us the promise Holy Spirit, our advocate, to come alongside us, to live within us, to empower us, to witness, to initiate that life change inside of us, to bring us new life and refreshing. We are grateful, Lord. And so I pray that the work of the Holy Spirit this morning be that of softening our hearts, that it be good soil to receive the seed of your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope you got some rest last night. I'm going to embark on something I don't do. Sometimes I try to. It never turns out well because I get too excited. But I'm going to try to teach a little more this morning. Can you say amen? Pastors can teach on Sunday morning too. And I felt this was pretty critical. And so I don't know exactly where we're going to end up. I know that sounds kind of crazy, especially since I got the notes. So, but we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture. We're going to be a lot of things this morning. So I need you to hang tight, hang with me. But I guarantee if you grab a hold of this, it'll minister to you and it'll open up an avenue to the Holy Spirit that maybe you didn't know was there and what he can do in your heart and life. So y'all ready? You're going to buckle up? Everybody buckle up. Thank you. All right. I heard even a few clicks. Good job. Okay. So the first thing I want to point out this morning is this, is that he has a voice. If you remember in some of the weeks past, what we've talked about is that the Holy Spirit, and we're going to emphasize again that this morning, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a third person of the Trinity, and people, persons, have a voice, and the Holy Spirit has a voice. And when we get into this and we kind of unravel it as we move along this morning, we're going to learn about his voice. I'm so excited about it. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 27, and he, talking about God the Father, who searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That's what the ESV says. And some other translations translate it this way, the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, we can really say it two ways. The Holy Spirit has a mind and he has a voice that he wants to communicate with us, and I believe on a daily basis. The second thing is this, is that he has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. And we see one of the examples of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. All these things are empowered. This is talking about the gift. We're actually going to be talking about the nine gifts of these specific gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. There's more gifts than these nine, but we're going to focus on these nine in a few weeks. But in verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he what? As he wills. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in any service, whether it be a corporate gathering like this or maybe just using you out on the highways and the byways on the streets, it is according to his will that that happens. He has emotions such as love and joy. He has emotions. Of course, you can read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, but Romans 15:30 says this, "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit." The love of the Spirit, that tells me that the Holy Spirit has emotions. And we're going to even break this a little bit further in these next few things, because I believe that it's part of that, the emotions of the Holy Spirit, and that, of course, that He is God and our helper and our advocate, that He comforts. The Holy Spirit comforts. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, we read, "So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was being built up." I pray that for our church, Romans and in Acts chapter 9. "And walking in the fear of the Lord in the comfort of the Holy Spirit." I'm going to tell you, and just kind of, just right now, even if it's a digression, it's a little bit, is that there is no comfort like the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There is people that are expending their life trying to find some sort of comfort and peace, and they are not going to find it unless they find it in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He is the salve. He mends and binds up our broken hearts. He quickens our mortal bodies. He brings us peace and love and joy. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so many people are looking in all kinds of places to find that comfort. I mean, not to lessen a serious moment, but how can you not think of the song right now? Looking for love in all the wrong places. He teaches in 1 Corinthians 2:13, "And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit." The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches. As a matter of fact, there's another verse, and granted, there are multiple verses we could look at, but just for time's sake, I'm just looking at one. But there is a scripture that tells us that the anointing of the Spirit teaches us that and will minister to us. The Holy Spirit teaches. Was it a couple of Sundays ago that I talked about the guy learning to read his Bible? Did I share that? Anybody remember that story? Did I share that? I'm going to just share it real again because I think it's a great example. I may have shared this a few weeks ago, and you get to that age, you can't remember what you said, and you repeat yourself a lot. Anybody? No. I'll make it real short, but I was working with a guy, and we met this guy, and I mean, it was really a divine encounter, and there was several neat things that happened. How he came to salvation was his wife had a very problem pregnancy, and the baby was not supposed to make it. And one of the biggest issues was that there was something had happened with umbilical cord and had disconnected. And of course, we know a baby can't survive without that. And so how he came to faith, there was a guy coming and witnessing to him. And they got this news about the baby. And so the first thing he knew to do, he's this backer tough guy. He calls this guy, he calls him the preacher. And he said, "Preacher, I need you to come pray." And so that pastor came over and prayed for him. He still didn't turn his heart to God. But he was waiting for the delivery of his son, and it was a miracle that they couldn't figure it out. This is decades ago. And she carried a term and gave birth to a healthy boy with no umbilical cord and no placenta. And when the doctor came out, he had no words. He had no words. And so when they finally expressed to him what happened, this man, he went out, he said, in the front of the hospital and laid down on the grass in the front of the hospital and gave his heart to God. And one of the things about him was that he was illiterate. He could not read. And one night he's laying in bed and he's saying, "God, I know your word's important and I listen to your word." And his wife had been reading the word, "But I want to learn to read and I want to read your word." And over the next some time, I don't know how long it was, at night the Holy Spirit would verbally read him the Bible. Wrap your mind around that one. And that's how we learn to read. I'm going to tell you something. Our God is big. And our God knows exactly where you're at and exactly what you need. And if you are part, if this is, you're like, I just don't know about that stuff. I just don't know. I'm going to tell you, the psalmist even wrote that God can do whatever he pleases. And I'm grateful that he does. Amen. He can be made to feel sorrow, the Holy Spirit. This is, your feelings can be hurt. So can the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And maybe down the road we'll talk about this one even a little bit more. But I'm going to tell you something. When God is contending with your heart, when the Holy Spirit is stirring on the inside of you, and he's even spoken to you, and you've heard his voice. Not necessarily an audible voice, but you felt it and knew it on the inside of you. And God said, this is the direction I want you to go. This is the step I want you to take. This is what I want you to do. And it can even be something very, very simple. Maybe you saw somebody in a restaurant, across the restaurant, and there's this quick thought inside your heart that said, buy their meal. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit does stuff like that. And when we heed that voice, when we're faithful and listening to his voice and obeying what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, it will intensify. Because if you're faithful over little things, what will God do? He'll make you faithful over greater things, right? And it grieves the Holy Spirit when he tells you to do something, and either by lack of faith or disobedience, you don't do it. It grieves him. It breaks his heart. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has, I like how the ESV says, outraged. Most translations say insulted, but the ESV says, outraged the Spirit of grace. He can be resisted, just like, and that's what it is when he speaks to us and we don't do it, we are resisting that work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know some of you would love for me to preach you a sermon like Acts chapter 7 and verse 51 when Stephen's being stoned, right? I would probably get stoned. But Acts 7, 51, look what Stephen says. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in your heart and ears. What does he say? You always resist the Holy Spirit. Don't be counted in that number. Don't be among those people. When the Holy Spirit is stirring inside of you, don't resist it. So many times the Holy Spirit deals with us or contends with us or speaks to us. And we're going to talk about this in a little depth in just a few moments. But it doesn't make sense to our mind, to our intellect. It doesn't add up sometimes in these brain cells, and we have a difficult time, and so we tend to resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. We read in Acts 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to get on the whole story this morning, but Ananias and Sapphira both lied, and Peter says this in 5:3, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you, of all the things that don't do that one. Right? Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. It didn't turn out well with Ananias and Sapphira. John 16:7. Let's look there. If you want to turn there, I'll give you just a second. It's going to be on the screen. And so we see the Holy Spirit, he has emotions, he has a voice, he has a will, he can be resisted. I mean, the same emotions that you feel many times also happen with the Holy Spirit. Why do I want to point that out? It's so that you have an understanding of who we have relationship with, of who is around us and inside of us. One of my favorite scriptures, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Now, we talked about this, about Jesus, about why he had to leave and how that benefits us with the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts and lives. But if we're going to get the technical here, and many of you have heard this term before, but what John 16:7 is talking about, that word used for Holy Spirit here is parakletos. And what it means is this. It means something very specific. the one who comes along aside. I really like that definition. I mean, have you ever felt that way? I mean, have you ever felt, you've gone through a season, a situation, a time where you thought, if I just had some help. Hello, anybody there? If I just had somebody that could come along and help me. If I could have somebody that's come along, and matter of fact, the scripture says helper, comforter, encourager, advocate. I'm going to tell you, there's no help we can get like the help of the Holy Spirit. There's no comfort that we can get like the comfort of the Holy Spirit. There's no encouragement that we can get than that of the Holy Spirit. And he's an advocate, a person who speaks or writes in support or defense of a person. Have you ever felt you were all alone in a situation where you were standing by yourself? Maybe you felt like all the world had turned against you and you need somebody to stand up for you. The Holy Spirit is just that person. He's the one who comes along aside. He's the one that will be your defense. He will counsel you in decision. He will defend you. He will be a mediator between you and God. I mean, look, the definition of that mediator, of that advocate, a person who make the people involved in a conflict come together in agreement. Aren't you grateful for the work of the Holy Spirit with your relationship with our Father God? The Holy Spirit is permanent. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is permanently called closely alongside each of you. So let's think about that. I mean, in the church today, you know, a buzzword that we have is what's our calling, right? Have you ever asked you that? You know, what's your calling? Or maybe you've heard that discussion. I've had people ask me that all my life. And because people are called to be pastors and called to be missionaries, and people have asked that of me. And I was like, you know, I don't know what my calling is except that to lost people. That's always been my answer, is to lost people. And some of you in this room are a result of God fulfilling that calling in my life. But think about this. It's his mission, his calling to be alongside you. And I know us as humans, sometimes we're not faithful with fulfilling our calling, are we? But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says even when we are not faithful, he remains what? He remains faithful. And he's faithful to his calling to you. He's been called to come alongside you as a counselor, as a comfort, as a help, as a mediator. He convicts men of sin. He aids us in repentance and faith. He regenerates, he comforts, he sanctifies, he bears witness with our spirit of our acceptance with God and that we are adopted as God's children. And he dwells in us and gives us that new life. So let's take this just a step further, can we? Let's look at John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Are you with me this morning? John chapter 14 and verse 15. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I could probably really talk about this passage and not talk about verse 14. But I got to read verse 14 because I think it's so critical. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, is it critical that we make public confession with our mouth that he's the Lord of our life? Absolutely. But did you notice here he didn't say, give me lip service? Did anybody notice that? Is that a little too, am I being a little too rough this morning? Are you okay? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I mean, how guilty have I been in times of my life? And what's come out of my mouth is, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, right? I mean, haven't we prayed that and said that and declared that? But then I look up in the actions of my life and I think, well, that didn't show it too well. I've had those seasons in my life. And I ask, this is what Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper. Everybody say helper. To be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. It says what? You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I like how he says that. I will come to you. You skip down to verse 26. We read this in the same chapter, John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Aren't you grateful for the mission of the Holy Spirit? I mean, the mission of the Holy Spirit is to take of what is the Father's and make it known to you. The mission of the Holy Spirit, it's a big mission that he takes the depths of God and reveals it to you. The mission of the Holy Spirit is to comfort you. The mission of the Holy Spirit is to counsel you, to help you make decision and give you direction in your life. And he will always be there. Always be there. Now, the Holy Spirit, I don't know everybody's background. I've said many times, we have a church that we've all come from different backgrounds and different denominations. And, you know, I meet people all the time, you know, and we invite them to church, you know. And I had this online, actually, conversation. I just happened to be trolling one of the trading posts. And so a lady posted about looking for a church. And usually on social media, if you've ever seen that, you know, I mean, boy, I tell you what, everybody's promoting their church, man. I mean, you're like, good grief, a lot of people go to church in Odessa. And that's what it feels like, right? I mean, everybody, I mean, websites and everybody's plugging and all this stuff, you know, and somebody from our, and that's what I always look for. If somebody from our church is doing that, and somebody did, actually it was Stephanie, and she posted about our church. And I was like, yes, we got one. So I'm going to be looking for your names on Facebook on when that happens. And so I'll be honest, I was sitting there and something just, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to respond it on the page. I'm going to send her. So I sent this lady a message and I said, listen, I know everybody's promoting their church. And I didn't even promote our church. I just said, you know, I said, I just really felt the Lord just want me to pray for you. And even right now, as I write this, I'm just praying for you that you would find the place. And I really had no selfish motives in this. Please understand. I really didn't. And so she responded back, and she said, you know, nobody sent me a private message and said that. She goes, I want to come try your church. I was like, great. And so we started conversing about our church, and I was telling her what it was like here and gave her our website and all this stuff. And the next day, I get this face message back, and it was, do y'all speak in tongues? And I said, yes, ma'am, we speak in tongues. Hadn't heard from her since. And hasn't visited us that I know of. But I say that to say the Holy Spirit is not some weirdness. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. I know in a more traditional sense, in older translations, like the King James, he talks about a ghost. And, you know, he's not a poltergeist. He's a spirit. He's a spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is not some new age thing. He has been here since the beginning. See the importance of that first sermon. The Holy Spirit is making you a new creation. The Holy Spirit is going to fulfill the mission and completing the work in you as you're here on earth. The Holy Spirit is helper, counselor, encourages you. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to fulfill the mission in which God has given you in his church. The Holy Spirit is what makes grace come alive when we come to faith in Christ Jesus. See, without the Spirit, we would not know what that feels like. We would not experience when you just feel, have you ever been in that moment? Maybe you've responded to an altar call, and it's like this waves of mercy. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it unless you were standing in the ocean, and it's a sensation of just waves coming across of you that you feel his love and his grace and his mercy. That happens because of the Holy Spirit. And if you have never encountered that, friend, I will tell you this morning that God wants you to encounter His Spirit like that. The fellowship that we have with one another is because of the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of moving along quick. I don't want to jump deep into this, but the reason I say that is if you really think about it, all of us together in this room together and loving each other and being a family is really a miracle. I mean, what other place on the planet would you sit here with this motley crew? I mean, where would you do that? There's nowhere that you would do that. I mean, outside of church, we do have our own families and lives and hobbies and the things we take part of. The church is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And I'm grateful for that. But I want to look in. Let's take another step in this. John 16, 13 through 15. One of my favorite verses and passages. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He's our teacher, right? For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will what? Say it together. He will speak. Tell your neighbor, speak. He hears, He will speak, and He will declare. He has a voice, and He wants to share things with us, and He wants to speak to us. Excuse me. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for you will take from what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said, He will take from what is Mine and declare it to you. He will take from what is the Lord Jesus's and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you today. The Holy Spirit wants to share something with you. The Holy Spirit wants to make known the depths and the breadth and the awesomeness and the majesty of our Father God. He wants to take the deep things of God and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. And so I know sometimes our presenters that help us me back there, they're like, you never follow your presentation. It's like, I'm sorry. So we're going to skip down. We're going to do this. I want to talk about this. The Holy Spirit will speak. The Holy Spirit will speak. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 29, and the Spirit said, do you see that? And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this. That was the encounter with the Egyptian eunuch. Powerful story in Scripture. And the Spirit said to Philip, the Spirit told him to go there. You see, in our culture, I mean, people are seeing, I remember it was some time ago, and I don't remember, it was our president then was George W. Bush, and he had said something about how God had spoken something to him and how the media just went like, I mean, they just, you know, went up in an uproar. Oh, God speaks to him. Ha, 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 ha. You know, well, yeah, God does speak. He does speak to us, and that does not make us weird. And the Lord, He wants to speak to you. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19, and while Peter was pondering the vision, Acts is such a critical book to our faith, and especially chapter 8 and chapter 10. But Acts 10, 19, while Peter was pondering the vision, God had given him a vision, the Spirit said to him, there was a revelation that came, and I want to emphasize this, and the Spirit said to him, bold, three men are looking for you. And that's where the whole thing happened at Cornelius' house. You look in Revelations, and you talk about, it says about the churches and this, the revelation that John the Revelator was getting, and it says, the Spirit says to the churches. You just see it over and over and over. The Spirit says to the churches, the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. The only way you can learn someone's voice is by spending time with them. by having a conversation, right? If any of you, if somebody close to you calls you by the voice on their phone, I mean, you know it's them. You don't have to look at caller ID or anything like that. You know it's them. Why? Because you've had multiple, many, many thousands of conversations with them. You can know the Spirit's voice just like that. Are you still with me? You can know the Spirit's voice just like that. Matter of fact, I was so moved this week because one of the nights that we had the kids just take time and to listen to what the Spirit would be speaking to them. And many of them, it was like cold water hit them. I mean, because they heard the Spirit speak to them and they're like, we've never heard that before. But it was something that happened on the inside of them. My own daughter, Kayla, that's why she's in here, because she wanted to hear this sermon and because she knew what Daddy was preaching. I mean, when she came to me and was talking about that Sunday, that night we're driving home, and she's telling me all about what God spoke to her and her terminology. I mean, she didn't know how to describe it, because she knew she heard something. She just knew it wasn't verbal. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? He speaks to us many ways, many ways, many, many ways. I'm going to tell you, I mean, and take this with a grain of salt. This may be totally opinion, but I'm going to tell you one way the Holy Spirit, I don't think, speaks to us. And that's through laying out a fleece. You may have had that work out positive in your life. It never has for me. You know, if you need to read about a fleece, you can go back and read Gideon and the interaction. You know, it was some of the effect of God was speaking. He's like, God, if this is really you, then I'm going to lay this fleece out, and the fleece will be wet, and the grass will be dry, you know. And so it was. And so then he comes back the next time. It's like, okay, no, Lord, if this is really you, the fleece is going to be dry, and the grass is going to be wet, right? And so that's what it means when you trying to get that sign from the Lord. When we were pastoring in La Mesa, and God was really contending with us, if we were to leave and transition to a new ministry years ago, and I will never forget, I was in a deer blind, and I'm sitting there and I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, if we're supposed to resign and leave La Mesa, you just need to send the biggest buck I've ever seen in my life walk. I may have a little selfish motives in there. But I believe if you are in tune with the voice of God, you can hear his voice directly. You see, the Bible tells us, I believe, that the Holy Spirit uses your conscience. Your conscience. We went into detail this a couple of months ago on a Wednesday night. There's that still small voice that will speak to you. I do believe that God can speak verbally and audibly. I've met people who have experienced that, and I'm just like, wow, that's got to be awesome. There's many ways the Lord gives us impressions and directs us. But I'm going to tell you the main way the Spirit of God speaks to us is through our very own conscience. And even though she's right here and it may embarrass her, we get home that night and she says something that I thought, I mean, I wanted to say so much to her that it's like, I wish adults would get this. And she says, Daddy, when God speaks to me, does it sound like me? And I said, baby, absolutely. You know why? Because he bears witness in your conscience. When you talk to yourself, what does it sound like? Now, don't look at me like you don't talk to yourself. All right, let's be honest this morning. When you talk to yourself, what does it sound like? It sounds like you. Why? Because you're talking to yourself, and it's inside your what? Your head. It's in your own conscience. And so the reason why we miss God so many times, right? Because isn't this what happens? We hear something on the inside of us, go do this or go do that, and then what do we do next? Oh, that just sounds like me. Right? And we talk ourselves out of it. We talk ourselves out of it. The Holy Spirit, that's what that still small voice is. That voice that you hear on the inside of you of don't say that, and then you normally do and regret it, right? Hello? Was that too close to home? Happens to all of us. Or, you know, I mean, don't go there. Some of us still need to pay attention to that voice. you know, don't do this, don't say that, don't go there. You know, we hear that inside of us, and that's how that still small voice works in the inside of us. So why is it so hard and difficult to us? Because of several things, I believe. Because there is something fighting against you hearing the voice of God. And the first one is the enemy. The enemy wants to prevent you from hearing the voice of God. When you read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, it lays out this the scenario of this spiritual warfare taking place between, it tells us, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There is a devil, we have an enemy, and he wants to prevent you from hearing the voice of God. He wants to stop it. He wants to end it. He doesn't want you to hear from God. And so, yeah, we have that contention going on in our life. And so what is the answer? To put on the whole armor of God. To put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, and have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and to shod our feet with the gospel of peace, to put on the full armor of God, and to stand against every scheme that he would want to enact in your life, to see it for what it is. I'm going to tell you, there's something heavy, heavy on me that I'm really praying in our church, is that if there is something I believe that is lacking in our American church today, it is discernment. We need the gift of discernment at work in our churches. There's also your own mind, your mind that is fighting against you. You can read, I have the whole passage there. I'm going to skip to verse 7. At least I'm going to try to, that there is, that for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. I tell you what, their doubt is only something that happens in 18 inches, right? You know that, from your heart to your head. Now, the importance that Scripture teaches us, but we are to be renewed by in our minds, right? God, a transformation happens by our mind being renewing. But as I said many times throughout this, when we resist or grieve or work against the Holy Spirit, 9 times out of 10, it'll be because of what we're thinking in our noggin. When the Holy Spirit's speaking to our heart, I'm sure we laugh about it now, and I hope they laugh about it now, but I didn't know the full story. But, you know, a few years ago, we come back from camp, and Audrey's testifying up here about camp. And if I'm wrong, y'all can correct me. But I don't think Mike and Sherman knew that God was contending about the Maldives. Did y'all? No. And so that came a surprise. But to see what their family's done and the support of this and the growth that's happened in Audrey. But I think of what it must have been like to stand up. Maybe she was scared. Maybe she was nervous. I don't know of how mom and dad would receive that. But I can't imagine a battlefield that was going on in the head. Are you hearing me? Don't let your intellect. Now, I mean, there's a lot of people that accuses of us of being less than smart, right? I mean, that's just part of faith and what we believe in. But don't let your intellect talk you out of where the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you. The safest place to be is in the will of God. That's the safest place. Wherever that takes you, the safest place to be is in the will of God. The most dangerous place to be is out of God's will. Don't let your mind, don't let the facts talk you out of what God is stirring in your heart. Now, I'm not saying don't be wise. I'm not saying don't do your homework. But don't let your mind tell the Spirit no. Are you with me? Also, something that we fight against is the flesh. Is our flesh. Nobody, does anybody have that battle? Anybody? Any war against the flesh? We like our flesh. We like to feed our flesh. We like to entertain our flesh. Romans 8, 12 through 4. Maybe I'll just, instead of piddling, I'll just read the scripture. Maybe that'll help. I won't look at you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, I said, if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How many of you want to be led by the Spirit? Galatians 5:25 tells us that if we're gonna be led by the Spirit, then we got to keep in step with Him. And you know what? There's many times that the Holy Spirit will contend with something in our heart that really makes our flesh uncomfortable. Maybe if God's ever dealt with you about something, and maybe there's a relational issue with somebody or someone, and maybe your feelings got hurt, maybe there's some offense there, and God spoke to you and said, go make it right. Uh-uh. Right? No, they going to come apologize to me for what they did, right? Isn't that what we get? That's that flesh. And it still happens in my life. I can't remember which night it was, but it was one of the nights of district council. Man, that's our speaker, Rod Loy, he just brought it, man. He brought it right, and he brought it real. And I'm sitting there on the altar with my hands raised, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. If you know somebody's got something against you, you need to leave your gift at the altar and go to them. Oh. So I had to walk up, and not only that, I had to walk all the way across the church. Oh, I mean, why couldn't he have been in the middle? Why couldn't he have been next to me? That'd have made things a little easier. But I had to walk all the way across the church and go make things right with him. And you know what? As hard as it was, and I don't know what the future holds, I'm not telling you everything's rosy and perfect, but I know I obey the Lord, and the Lord gave me a freedom and a breaking because that I did. And then I was able to go to prayer and receive from the Lord. Don't let your flesh fight against you what the Holy Spirit's trying to work in your life. He only wants to help you. And the last thing is this, and we'll close. Matter of fact, you can go ahead and stand with me this morning. Because I did not intend to preach this long. I am so sorry. Or teach this long. The fourth thing is this, is you have to fight against, when you're listening to the voice of the Spirit, is other people. Did you know that? Did you know that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, sometimes you got to fight against other people? The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:28, now you brothers like Isaac are children of promise, but just as at that time he was born according to the flesh, listen, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. It's talking about the twins in the Old Testament, Esau and Jacob. It's saying Jacob was the one born according to the flesh, or Esau was born according to the flesh, and Jacob was born according to the Spirit. And the one in the flesh, what did he do to the one in the Spirit? Persecuted. Now, Scripture tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against spirits and powers and principalities. So I'm not telling you that if somebody is persecuting you, to go knock them in the nose. That's not what we're saying. But I believe this right here, if nothing else has, is going to speak to you more clearly and more powerful than anything that I've said this morning. And I can do it very quickly. When Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, what did Joseph want to do? You remember the Christmas story? Put her away quietly. You see, Joseph didn't understand what God was doing. But Mary knew her own future husband didn't get it. I mean, think about the culture, what it must have been like back then, right? And so the one that she was going to marry was going to put, but what did Mary do? You see, Mary went to somebody that God was working a miracle in her. Do y'all remember who that was? That was Elizabeth. You see, there was another miracle birth that happened in this Christmas story because Elizabeth was going to have John the Baptist. She was beyond childbearing years, and God did a miracle. And so Mary knew where to go when God did a miracle in her, someone that would understand. You see, when God speaks to you, you got to know there's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be those that say that it can't be done, that it wasn't God, that it wasn't real, that you're imagining things. You're going to have all kinds of excuses. I'm going to tell you, take it for what it is. I mean, you don't have to say, why are you persecuting me? I'm not suggesting that you have to say that. But no, do not let it deter you when you think the ones that are supposed to be there for you aren't, when it comes to the voice of God speaking in your life. Come on, are you hearing me? Do not let it deter you when God is speaking something to you. When you feel God stirring to do something for somebody and building the kingdom of God or direction or decision, no matter how trivial it may seem to you or how big, don't let people talk you out of it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not here to hurt you. The Holy Spirit is here to what? Help. He's a helper, and He's going to help you. And He's going to show you what step to take. He's going to be that counselor for you. He's going to be that advocate for you when you feel like you're all alone. He's going to make the promise become real to you that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So here's what I want you to do this morning. I want to run the house. I want you to lift your hands. And I've asked for a specific song they're going to sing. And it's right where you are. This morning, I want you to keep your hands raised as they sing this song, and I want you to pray a prayer with me right now. Are you ready? I dare you to pray this prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Holy Spirit, I want you to say it out loud. Yeah. Holy Spirit, would you speak to me?
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of
people this morning, Lord. Speak to us by the voice of your Holy Spirit.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of
right now. I believe that if you're catching this, something's happening. And right now, either you are getting a peace about whatever that contention is in your life, or it's an angst, it's something that you're uncomfortable, the Holy Spirit will use that to direct you. I believe some of you this morning just heard His voice on an issue. He spoke to your heart and it was more clear than ever. He said, this is the step. This is what I want you to do. This is the direction this is the dream I want you to have. There's something that He ministered on the inside of you. Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit.